Ascent Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Visibility Mindset, How Asian American Leaders Create Opportunities and Push Past Barriers, by Bernice Chow and Jesselyn Lam. Narrated by Jennifer Aquino. Limit of Liability, Disclaimer of Warranty. While the publisher and author have used their best efforts in preparing this book, they make no representations or warranties with respect to the accuracy or completeness of the contents of this book, and specifically disclaim any implied warranties of merchantability or fitness for a particular purpose. No warranty may be created or extended by sales representatives or written sales materials. The advice and strategies contained herein may not be suitable for your situation. You should consult with a professional where appropriate. Neither the publisher nor author shall be liable for any loss of profit or any other commercial damages, including but not limited to special, incidental, consequential, or other damages. Introduction. Our story is a commonly shared one. We are Asian Americans born in and living in the United States. While we are part of the American culture, we are still balancing the culture of our ethnic origin. We speak English fluently, but because of the differences in how we look, we are often seen as not quite American enough. And since we are not being raised in our origin country, oftentimes we are also not Asian enough. Throughout this book, we will be using the term Asian Americans to include all individuals of Asian descent, but recognize that there are many other terms that can be used to mean the same thing, including Asian American Pacific Islander, AAPI, and often simply Asian. Speaking generally, Asian parents teach us that we will succeed if we work hard. However, most of us know that hard work in this day and age is just not enough to succeed. We've learned that working hard usually means getting assigned more work instead of praise, raises, or promotions. We see others who did not put the same hours and dedication into their workload as we did, and they excel and get promoted without a clear explanation as to why. We look around and see those of Asian American descent leaving their corporations and starting their entrepreneurial endeavors because they couldn't work within the established system. Asian Americans are often not given the opportunities they deserve in the workplace, and we are here to break down these stereotypes and myths to help guide you through the challenges you may face along your career journey. The two of us spent our careers in advertising and media, and we both were faced with the same upward momentum challenges. Through many years of struggling to be seen, we realized that we needed to apply what we knew from our work to ourselves in order to succeed. We realized that the same things that gain brands presence and recognition could also work for us. We found that rather than being passed over for opportunities, by implementing a brand strategy for ourselves, a new world of potential could open up to us, and we wanted to share this realization with others. We created a nonprofit organization called Asians in Advertising to help advance Asian Americans into the C-suite. We did this by hosting community networking classes, spotlighting Asian American talent, and creating practical, career-enhancing lessons based on what we learned from our experiences and industry leaders. As a result, we saw many in our community were using these pointers to get new jobs and advance in their careers. Asian Americans began reaching out to us from many different industries and from all areas of the world. We quickly realized that career enhancement strategies were useful not only to Asian Americans in the advertising field, but also to Asian Americans in all business roles. Our reach had expanded globally, so we decided we needed to share what we had learned and to spread knowledge from others who had figured out tips for visibility. This book lays out many actionable steps to help you become seen in the workplace and to facilitate the opening up of many more opportunities to you, possibilities that would not necessarily have been available to you before. In the beginning of each chapter, you will see that each one is written by one of us, as we wanted to include the personal nature of our own experiences that led us to write those specific chapters and integrate our own stories and perspectives. We created this book as a guide for Asian Americans and see this book being used as a resource in schools, organizations, employee resource groups, book clubs, and friend groups, among others. We want anyone who has felt that they lacked visibility in the workplace to be able to have the tools to be seen. This book will also be an essential guide for employers, managers, and anyone interested in diversity, equity, and inclusion. If you are a non-Asian listening to this book, we appreciate you being an ally to our community. Nothing in this book is the silver bullet, but we have found common issues and shared solutions. Feel free to take as much or as little as you need from it. Common myths. Before we go into what we have the potential to do, it is important to understand how we got to where we are and to break down the myths and stereotypes that run across the Asian American community. Asian Americans are too often a tokenized afterthought, getting pulled in when more diverse faces are needed. Asian Americans are often perceived as successful due to the misconceived model minority myth. On the whole, Asian Americans are sometimes classified on one hand as white, and on the other hand as people of color. This complex set of conflicting stereotypes has rendered us invisible in America. Myth 1. Asian Americans are a single monolithic group. Asian Americans are not a monolith. They have a population of nearly 23 million, with a diverse group originating from more than 20 countries in East and Southeast Asia and the Indian subcontinent. They include many subgroups. East Asians, 4.9 million Chinese, 1.9 million Korean, 1.5 million Japanese, and 204,000 Taiwanese. Southeast Asians, 4 million Filipino, 2.1 million Vietnamese, 322,000 Cambodian, 313,000 Thai, 309,000 Hmong, 261,000 Laotian, and 182,000 Burmese. South Asians, 4.3 million Indian, 515,000 Pakistani, 188,000 Bangladeshi, and 168,000 Nepalese. Pacific Islanders, 600,000 Native Hawaiian, 209,000 Samoan, 159,000 Guamanian, and 253,000 other Pacific Islanders. According to the U.S. Census, the Asian American population is the fastest growing racial or ethnic group in the United States, growing by 81% from 2000 to 2019. Myth 2. Asian Americans are high-earning and well-educated. The income inequality in the United States is rising most rapidly among Asian Americans. Asian Americans displaced Black Americans as the most economically divided racial or ethnic group in the United States, according to a Pew Research Center analysis of government data. In fact, 12.3% of Asians live below the poverty line. Asian Americans represented 17.9% of people living in poverty in New York City and had the highest poverty rate of any racial or ethnic group at 29%. Nearly 1.1 million Southeast Asian Americans are low income and about 460,000 live in poverty. Myth 3. Asian Americans are fairly represented in leadership positions. When it comes to Asian Americans in the workplace, most Asian Americans are hired at the bottom and not promoted to leadership roles. According to the Leading Asian Americans to Unite for Change 2021 Status Index report, nearly 50% of non-Asian Americans believe Asian Americans are fairly or overrepresented when in fact Asian Americans are significantly underrepresented in senior positions in companies, politics, and media. According to Diversity Inc., Asian Americans make up only 2.6% of the corporate leadership of Fortune 500 companies. Many Asian Americans face the challenge of not getting promoted in the workplace. For example, representation of Asian American talent is inconsistent across advertising agencies, as reported by the agency DEI database, where Asians occupy only 13% professional, 6% management, 8% senior executive, and 5% C-suite roles. This is a snapshot of only one industry and an example of why we need to change to ensure that Asians are recognized as leaders in the workplace. Creating visibility. Visibility is not only about the act of being seen by others. It is also about actively seeking opportunities to see ourselves. We are not asking you to change who you are, but to create a framework of access and understanding. We believe that by keeping visibility at the forefront of your mind, you will be able to create opportunities for yourself and make sure your employers see you in the roles you desire. Why did we choose the title, The Visibility Mindset? Because Asian Americans are still an invisible minority, and to be visible, you must keep an active mindset. In this book, we separate the visibility mindset into three parts: improving yourself, working with others, and redefining the future of the workplace. Improving yourself. This section provides strategies to improve yourself. You will discover how to nurture a lifelong learner mindset and how to activate a growth mindset in how you approach life. The Asian American community must unlock more opportunities by reframing their mindset and focusing their energy on self-improvement by shifting perspectives and reactions. The chapters in this section include topics on finding your voice, knowing your worth, building your personal brand, creating your own career path, finding your optimal work-life balance, and prioritizing your mental health. Working with others. This section covers stories of how we work with others throughout our career journeys and provides tips on how to navigate our career paths while learning from leaders who became successful by collaborating with others in the workplace. The chapters in this section include topics on addressing microaggressions, maximizing the power of networking, becoming an effective leader and manager, and optimizing the magic of mentorship. Redefining the future of the workplace. We are writing this book as an essential career guide for you with the hope of improving the future of the workplace. We need to reimagine what our future looks like, and through our stories, we share how we can continue to reshape and improve the workplace to help Asian Americans thrive and flourish at work. The chapters in this section include topics on leveraging allyship and integrating diversity, equity, and inclusion into learning and development. At the end of each chapter, reflections will help you to integrate the lessons from the chapter into your life to help get you to that job or position you've always imagined for yourself. Part 1. Improving yourself. 1. Finding your own voice. Bernice Chow. If people were silent, nothing would change. Malala Yousafzai, Pakistani activist for female education, Nobel Peace Prize laureate. When asked to speak at the Omnicom Precision Marketing Group's OPMG's Asian Pacific Islander Collective, I was stunned that Van Tran, a principal at Credera, and Kathy Butler, the chief executive officer at Organic, had picked me to talk about charisma. As someone who constantly feels like a fish out of water, no matter what room or conversation I am in, this would have never been a topic I would have chosen for myself. I discovered, however, that others see me as charismatic because of the strategies and techniques I consciously employ while speaking with others. Learning how to communicate is vital for Asian Americans because they face a strong stereotype as technically competent, diligent, and quiet. Because of this perception, Asian Americans are less likely to be promoted into management and leadership positions. In Western workplaces, those in leadership positions typically are praised for having qualities of being outgoing, bold, and sometimes even brash, which is at complete odds with how Asian Americans are seen in society. A New York Times article reported that more than 160,000 student records showed that Harvard consistently rated Asian American applicants lower than others on traits such as positive personality, likability, courage, kindness, and being widely respected. This news was a painful reminder to Asian Americans of the ethnic stereotype that though they are hardworking, they are not perceived to possess communication skills. Asian Americans must acknowledge the bias that exists and proactively combat it. It is not our responsibility to change society, but we can definitely challenge the stereotype of our individual performance by building charisma and developing interpersonal skills. As we collectively use our voices, we will start to reduce the stereotypes and redefine how we are perceived. This chapter will teach you how to find your voice and break the barriers that limit opportunities in the corporate world for Asian Americans. Learning the rules of communication. To improve your social skills, it is essential to start where you are by acknowledging your personality traits and your communication style before you consider where you want your voice to be. No matter where you are in the process of learning communication skills in your professional career, you can always practice ways to improve and cultivate your voice. In other words, communication skills can be learned and refined whether you are an introvert or an extrovert. As an introvert, you may have traits that can benefit you, such as being observational, a good listener, and more contemplative before speaking. As an extrovert, your skills can include being enthusiastic, extra-friendly, and social. Once you understand your personality traits, think about how you communicate through verbal and nonverbal cues. Having strong verbal and nonverbal communication skills demonstrates to your manager and leaders in your workplace that you can bring out the best in others, which is essential for career advancement and promotion into leadership positions. Dr. Albert Mehrabian, a psychology professor at the University of California, Los Angeles, published the book Silent Messages, in which he discusses the 7-38-55 communication rule. 7% of meaning is communicated through the spoken word. 38% of meaning is communicated through tone of voice. And 55% of meaning is communicated through body language. This means that 93% of how you communicate comes from nonverbal communications, which you can refine and practice. Recognizing the steps to effective communication. Interpersonal skills, or soft skills, are the behaviors and tactics a person uses to interact with others effectively. Communication skills are crucial in your personal life and essential in your work life. Interpersonal skills seem to come naturally to some people, but even if they don't come naturally to you, you are capable of learning these skills with practice. Having effective interpersonal skills helps build trust and collaboration between team members and managers. The steps to effective communication include knowing your audience, practicing active listening, improving verbal communication, focusing on nonverbal communication, and asking for feedback. Knowing your audience. In my experience as an Asian American in a white male-dominated career, I quickly realized I did not have the same cultural reference points as my colleagues. I didn't have the same music, sports, or movie knowledge, because in my household, my immigrant parents didn't expose me to those things at a young age. Any references I had came after I went to college and started forming my own interests. Consequently, I often was unable to recall famous names of songs, quotes, or sporting event outcomes, which many of my colleagues used in peer-to-peer conversation. I had to adapt and learn ways around that by finding other reference points that I could expound upon to find commonality. According to Drake Bear in his Business Insider article, "If you want to get hired, act like your potential boss." Managers hire and promote people based on people who remind them of themselves. If you want to work at a consultancy, law firm, bank, or elsewhere in the professional elite, landing a job may not require you to be the best qualified. Instead, it could depend on whether you have a spark of commonality with the hiring manager you interview with. In some American workplaces, knowing movie quotes and having an affinity for sports helps. However, if that's not in your interests, there are other ways to find commonality. Strategy for finding commonality. Before meeting with new individuals, spend 15 minutes before your meeting to learn what you can about them. Today, everyone has a digital footprint, whether on a company's website, personal website, LinkedIn, or social media sites. Look for natural ties and make a note of them. Look for organic ways that you can weave commonalities into your conversation. For example, did you live in a familiar place? Go to the same college? Have similar interests? Have mutual friends on LinkedIn? I find this tactic especially important when interviewing. Most interviewers see multiple candidates between their busy meetings, so finding ways to be memorable is essential. Finding common ground is an excellent way to keep the person on the other end of the conversation interested in engaging with you and staying top of mind. After an interview, you can reiterate these commonalities in your follow-up thank you email, which I send the same day as the interview, because often your interviewee is asked to give feedback the same day. Practicing active listening. As an Asian person, I was taught to have the answers to questions immediately ready so I would be seen as knowledgeable. I started to develop a bad habit of not listening to the speaker's full thoughts, and instead, I would start forming the answer or the next question that I was going to give while the speaker was still talking. This came off as if I wasn't fully giving the speaker my full attention, mainly because I wasn't. I was too busy in my own head thinking about what to say next. There are 4 steps to active listening. 1. Focus. 2. Reflect. 3. Clarify. And 4, communicate. Focus. Active listening requires that you go into a conversation focusing on listening to the speaker. You're giving the people you interact with your full attention and suspending judgment by not interrupting. You should close your computer or put away the phone, look the speaker in the eye, and focus on what they're saying and not on what you're going to contribute after they stop talking. For virtual conversations, it will help to look at a designated area on the screen so as not to seem distracted. You can self-regulate interruptions by muting yourself while the other person is speaking. Reflect. Reflective listening deepens the emotions behind the message and then offers them back to the speaker to confirm what has been said in your own words. Mirroring back key points of the conversation indicates that you are listening. Common reflective stems. So you feel. It sounds like you. What I hear you saying. I think I hear you saying. I'm not sure if I follow, but I believe you're saying. Clarify. Clarifying is checking the understanding of the message by asking what was said to be repeated or by asking additional questions. This allows the speaker to go into detail and clarify what was said, and allows the listener to remove doubt and check the accuracy of their understanding. Common clarifying stems. Could you repeat? I don't feel clear about. When you said, what did you mean? When did this happen? Can you further explain? Communicate. After taking time to fully interpret the information given to you, you can respond by introducing your own ideas, experiences, and suggestions. Perhaps you can describe a similar experience you had, or talk about an experience that was triggered by the conversation. Having a well-crafted response will show the speaker that you respect the time they're providing you and that you value the interaction. Example: I really appreciate you sharing about how you dealt with a manager giving you a hard time about a project in the workplace. It was helpful to hear you were able to use facts to defend yourself. I'm currently going through something similar where my manager was unexpectedly harsh, and I was able to speak with the head of human resources who helped as an impartial judge of the situation. Improving verbal communication. As an Asian woman of small stature, I have found that I really must make up for my smaller presence in my verbal delivery. I found early on in my career that when I contributed ideas in meetings, I was told that they were cute. Mind you, these were not ideas about cute things. It was the managers in the room basing their response on how they perceived who I was by how I was conveying what I was saying. My voice was quiet, and I was speaking quickly and nervously. I found that to be taken seriously, I had to make an effort to deliver the ideas I brought forward with authority. I practiced making sure that I delivered my ideas as if everyone in the room were peers that I felt comfortable with, and made sure I spoke at a good volume and pace, and that I had conviction. I found that if I brought in supporting statements or statistics as to why my idea would be successful, I would be perceived with more authority, and my idea would be met with more acceptance. How you use your voice when you speak adds another layer of meaning to what you are saying. As you present, it is critical for you to explain the context to the audience, for them to understand the logic behind your message, to ensure it does not get misunderstood. When it comes to verbal communication, here are some best practices to consider the next time you speak. Pace the speed of your words. Talking too fast may signal that you're not confident in the information you're delivering, or it may make the information being spoken unintelligible. Take your time when delivering your message. Avoid filler words. Be intentional to not use filler words such as like, okay, right, so, and, you know. Be clear and concise. It is not always necessary to share all the details of what is happening. You will be more effective when you are deliberate with your words and get straight to the point in a way your audience can easily comprehend. A way to alleviate many communication problems is to make a conscious effort to breathe between sentences or topics, and to recognize the power of pausing when you are speaking. Pausing helps your audience understand you better and enables you to gather your own thoughts as you are speaking. Focusing on nonverbal communication. Your nonverbal communication is just as important as your verbal communication because it can determine whether a person has a positive or negative impression of you. Pay attention to your body language and be conscious of the signals that your body is giving off during your conversation. You can show interest in a conversation by facing the speaker, talking, nodding along, and smiling. Light, enthusiastic hand gestures can accompany your responses. However, If the discussion is more
sample complete. Ready to continue?